Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we conclude an important series of studies on origins. Where did we come from? What is the meaning of life? And do we have any hope for the future? Well, you'll discover on our study today that we have an incredible hope for creation again. I want to welcome our Hope Sabbath School team here in the studio. It's good to be together again, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
And we want to welcome you too. Wherever you're joining us from around the world, we're so glad that you're part of our worldwide Hope Sabbath School family. In fact, we would love to hear from you. Occasionally, we'll get letters in the mail, but emails are probably the best way, or a note on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, Hope Sabbath School. Send us a note. sshope@hopetv.org is our address. Here are just a few emails we've received recently. Here's one from Princess, who's now living in Italy. She said, "I love Hope Sabbath School. I'm from Ghana, but now living in Italy. I was born in a Christian family in my country, but as I came here to Italy, my faith started to decrease, and the devil distracted me. But thanks to Almighty God and Hope Sabbath School, I'm gaining more faith in Him."
Amen.
Is that amazing?
Praise God.
Thank you, God. She concludes by saying, "God be with you all. Kiss, kiss." I think Italy is rubbing off on her. But thanks so much, Princess, for writing to us from Italy. And we are so thankful that God is using Hope Sabbath School to bring renewed spiritual vitality to your life. Here's a note from Dottie in the United States, the state of California. She says, "My husband and I start our day by watching Hope Sabbath School. What a wonderful way to get up and get going. I especially enjoy the scripture songs. I love having His word echoing in my mind, reassuring me of His presence.
Amen.
Can't find enough words to praise Him. Keep up the good work. God is blessing." Well, thanks so much, Dottie. That's why we memorize scripture songs, so that God can speak His word to us even during the day. Here's a note from Guyana, from Nicola. And Nicola says, "It's with much joy and appreciation that I write to you. I'm a Jamaican currently living in Guyana, and I have been tuning in to Hope Sabbath School for some time now. I really love that you have all taken time to share the Word of God with brothers and sisters around the world."
Amen.
Well, we are a family, aren't we? And Nicola asks and says, "I'm asking you to please pray for me, for my spiritual growth, and for my studies." Well, Nicola, thanks for writing to us. We consider you part of our family, and we will pray for you that God will bless you. One last note from Tempo in Zambia. Tempo writes and says, "I'm writing from the University of Zambia in the capital city. I'm a constant viewer of the interactive Sabbath School discussions you undertake on the Hope Channel. Only God can adequately reward you for the enormous work you do in reaching souls on the globe. The discussion enriches my understanding. The insights contributed by the members of Hope Sabbath School go a long way in my growth as a Christian."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, praise God. And Tempo ends by saying, "remembering you in my prayers."
Amen.
And we would say, Tempo, we'll be praying for you too. And we're just so thankful that you took the time to write to us. Amen. We'd also like to invite all of our viewers to go to our website at hopetv.org/hopeSS. This has been an amazing series on origins.
Yes.
And you can go and watch the whole series if you've missed any of the programs. You can download the outlines. You can even download our theme song and the sheet music and learn a wonderful song from Psalm 134. It's called "Behold, Bless the Lord." I know many of you have learned it, and we're going to sing it together now.
The
Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord.
All right, let's try to sing it with even more enthusiasm.
Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord.
And we do bless the Lord today, don't we?
Amen.
And today's study, creation again, is an amazing hope that we have of a new heavens and a new earth. And I'm just praying, maybe someone tuned into Hope Sabbath School for the first time today. Maybe in the United States, surfing on DirecTV, got to Channel 368. Maybe somewhere around the world, pulled it off one of the satellites. And for the first time, they're wondering, is there any hope? And today's study will make an eternal difference. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
We're going to pray right now that God would bless in supernatural ways. Our Father in heaven, you promised us that by your Spirit, you will lead us into truth. We've been learning in this amazing series on origins that we're not here by accident. It's not just the survival of the strong, that you love all of your children. You created us with a purpose, and you have redeemed us, and you've got a wonderful hope for us. So I pray that you would bless each Hope Sabbath School member. God, if a difference could be made for one life today, we'd praise you. But we believe that many will be blessed, and for that we'll praise you forever. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, creation again. You know, I'm going to take us to a text that has some bad news and some good news. And I was thinking of some illustrations of that. Maybe the bad news would be that someone you love is sick. The good news, you just heard that a doctor is coming and is going to donate the medicine that your loved one needs. That would be good news, right?
Oh, yeah.
A bad news, your spouse comes home or your best friend comes home and says, I just lost my job because I wouldn't compromise my convictions. The good news is that on the way home, I got a call on my cell phone and someone offered me a job because they knew I'd be an honest worker.
Amen.
So life is full of good news and bad news. Sometimes the bad news seems to come first, and then God comes through with some good news.
Amen.
And in the text we're going to start our study with today, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Jennifer, there is some bad news at first. And if you just read that, you say, well, we might as well just give up. But then comes some really good news. So would you start our study today, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 10 through verse 13.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Is that amazing?
Yes.
Amazing. Amen.
Yes. The bad news is, it seems bad anyway, that the elements are going to melt with fervent heat.
Right.
Everything's going to be burned up. And you say, well, is that the end for everyone? And the answer is?
No.
No. No, we have something beyond that. Yes. A new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Amen. Let's go to the book of Revelation. That's the end of the scriptures. We've been spending a lot of time in the book of Genesis, but Revelation chapter 21, almost the end of the inspired record. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Mario, would you take us there? And let's learn a little more about creation again.
Sure. From the New International Version, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'"
I am going to make all things new.
Amen.
Mm. We're going to talk about this new creation, creation again. And I like the way that testimony ended. Write these things down.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are faithful and true.
They're faithful and true. Nathan.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that I can imagine John being in vision and caught up in all of this and thinking, man, he's blown away by it. And God reminds him, I'm giving you this vision because I want you to write it down, because there's some people in Hope Sabbath School that need to be encouraged by this.
Yeah, generations down the road need to know that life not only has meaning today, but it has a future and a hope.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
This all things new has a lot of implications. We want to explore that in our study today. But first, we want to talk about the recreation of human beings. And let's look at several texts that seem to promise that, and then let's think about the implications. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. Kenneth, prophet Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19.
Reading from the New King James Version. "Your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise, awake and sing, you who dwells in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead."
So there's a promise. How long before Christ did the prophet Isaiah live? Anybody remember? About 700 years. Yeah. So that's a long time before the Messiah has come, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Isaiah says there's going to be a good outcome here.
Amen.
Yeah. And that great enemy that Paul spoke about, the great enemy is what?
Death.
Death. Death. Yeah. And that's Satan's weapon, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The great enemy is death, is going to be destroyed.
Amen.
And the dead shall live,
shall
arise. Daniel, another prophet, how long did he live before Jesus? About 600, a little less than 600 years. He was taken captive about 600 years before Christ. Daniel chapter 12. Willie, do you have verse 2 for us?
Yes. I'm reading from the New King James Version. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt."
So it appears there's going to be a resurrection.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hasn't yet talked about a creation of a new heaven, a new earth, but there's going to be an overcoming of death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Some people, if they've read the Gospels and they just heard that Daniel prophecy, say, that reminds me of the words of Jesus. Mm. Where's that found? Does anybody know?
John.
In the Gospel of John. Ulrich, would you read that for us? You almost wonder if Jesus was studying the Scriptures, right?
Yes.
Which is a good thing to do.
Yes, it is.
In John chapter 5, verses 24 through 29.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says here, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life,
and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.
Hmm. So that's where the reference to Daniel chapter 2 is. Right. There's going to be a resurrection. A resurrection to life.
Mm-hmm. And to eternal.
Condemnation. Two resurrections.
Two resurrections and one to condemnation. Well, right. We're going to discover that those who are raised in the resurrection of the righteous, they are going to be raised not just to live a little bit longer and then die again, mm-hmm. but they're going to be raised
to eternal
life, incorruptible. Now, someone might be saying, okay, when does that happen? And we'll discover it happens when the Lord returns. We could read a text in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. But just stay with me a minute. Some people might say, oh, wow, so then I'll have like no corruptible body and all of my defects are gone. Maybe I don't want to be alive when Jesus comes. Maybe it would be better if I died, because then at least when I'm raised incorruptible. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got good news for you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because those who are alive, Lily, when Christ returns, also have something, they have something very exciting to look forward to, according to the promise of God through the Apostle Paul. Would you start reading for us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52?
And I'll be reading from the New International Version. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Thank you. Then right. The saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
So here's this amazing promise that if some of us here, pray to God it will be all of us, if we're all alive when Christ returns, what's going to happen? We're going to be changed.
Right.
How long is it going to take, Kenneth?
In a twinkling.
Like that.
Snap.
Yep. That's about the shortest amount of time that he knew how to describe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's going to be a change. We are going to be putting off this mortal flesh, mm-hmm. right? Mortality.
Yes.
Put on immortality. That means not subject to death. And that which was corruptible.
Mm-hmm. Put on incorruption. Yeah,
incorruption. Well, so it's an incredible promise of what it's going to be like. But so will it just be a replica, Natasha? I mean, will you, you're both Christians, praise God. You're a Christian. Some people don't know this, but you are actually married to Mario, right?
Yes.
Will it just be like a kind of an exceptional replica of Mario who's raised, or will it actually be him? How is God able to do that, to actually bring the same person back? How does he do that?
Wow. He's the creator of our DNA.
Exactly, yes.
He knows who you are. Nothing he knows your DNA record, and he can recreate you just as you were.
You see, he can do that because
He's the God. Creator.
He is God.
The creator.
He's the creator. Mm-hmm. It's no problem for God. You say, well, how can he handle all of that information so he gets everybody right? And the answer is, can you remember a generation ago? Some of you may even be old enough to remember when we didn't have personal computers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
Some of you can't remember that far back. There was a world without computers.
True.
Do you marvel today at what can be processed on a little handheld device?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's nothing compared to the power of our Creator God.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
He is able to recreate us. In fact, there's a story in the Bible that illustrates God's creative power. It's found in John chapter 11. Does anybody know what story is there in John 11?
Lazarus.
The story of a friend of Jesus, actually a disciple, not one of the 12, but one of the disciples of Jesus. And Stephanie, in John 11, we could read the whole chapter. It's a great chapter. And the real essence of the chapter is, who is Jesus? Mm. And the answer is, he is the resurrection and the life.
Right.
He is the life giver. He is none other than the Lord. So that's the truth about Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
But in the midst of that, it talks about what we will be like.
Amen.
When we're raised. Would you pick up the story for us in John 11, verse 20 through 25?
All right. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Hmm. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
Now in this series we've been talking a lot about a relationship. What is Martha choosing to do in this very difficult situation? Jennifer, what's she choosing to do?
She's choosing to trust God, trust Jesus, because she knows him.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't know what you're thinking of doing. I have listened to your teaching, and I know what's going to happen at the last day.
Resurrection.
Yeah, I know that, but whatever you choose to do, I'm going to choose to
trust you.
I'm going to choose to trust you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The story continues to unfold. We can't read the whole story, but we'll go down to verse 41. Natasha, perhaps you could pick up the story for us. We're still in John 11, and read for us verses 41 through 44.
Sure. From the New International Version. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out with his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Now, this is an amazing story. We could spend a lot of time on it. Mm-hmm. But he's already decomposing. Lazarus has been dead for how long?
4 days.
And even his sister says, don't roll away the stone. There will be a stench. So there's no doubt that he's dead, right?
Right. Yes.
Jesus stands in front of the tomb and calls out, Lazarus, come forth. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody could do that, right? Right?
Right.
Any passerby, you'd say, oh, sure, I'll do that. But how do I know that Jesus is the life giver? Mario, what's the answer?
It happened.
He actually came out.
And when he rose.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Something happened when he called out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the reaction of the crowd confirms that this was powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. Two reactions. What are they? Do you know? Have you read John 11?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some marvel. They said, well, he's the Christ. And what did some others say?
We need to get rid of him.
We've got to kill him. We have to kill him because everyone will believe in him.
Yep.
That's right.
And we would go, that's what's supposed to happen, right?
Right. Yeah.
But there was no question, well, he wasn't really dead.
Mm.
They saw Jesus have authority over death.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Willie.
I was just going to say, I read a book, The Desire of Ages. I'm sure a lot of people have read it. The author says, Jesus said, come forth, all the dead people in that area would have come out. That's how powerful God is.
He had to say Lazarus.
So he had to say Lazarus.
He had to say Lazarus.
You know, when I was young, I had a question about this, and I'll come to your point, Kenneth. I thought Jesus said that the dead is like sleep, right?
Yeah.
And the Bible teaches that dead don't know anything. So if the dead is like asleep and they don't know anything, how was Lazarus able to hear him when he called him to come out? Can you help me? Is that a good question?
Yes.
How was he able to hear him if the dead don't know anything? They're sleeping. Nathan, help me with that one.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were created. So I think in calling forth, he's actually speaking them back into existence.
Yes, the breath of life.
You know, I'm not an expert on physics. I actually failed physics. But get this. Someone explained it to me this way, that the word of God is so powerful, his creative word, that in the milliseconds that it took to leave the mouth of Jesus before it reached the ear of Lazarus, the miracle had already happened.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that by the time his word reached that lifeless corpse, it wasn't a lifeless corpse anymore.
Praise God.
The miracle had already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that amazing man, Lazarus, who had listened to Jesus' word during his life, mm-hmm, now listens again. Wow. Did you ever wonder why they didn't unwrap him? Why did Jesus have to say, loose him and let him go?
They were stunned.
Scared? Stunned?
Just amazed. Yeah.
They weren't expecting him to come to life, so they didn't do anything to prepare him for life.
So what do you think they thought was under the bandages?
They may have been afraid he was still decomposed.
The smell.
Probably a ghost.
We haven't seen this before. I mean, at this point, what have we got to do? Back to what we said earlier, what have we got to do?
Trust God.
We got to trust that relationship. You know, the Lord is asking us to unwrap him. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's under there. Mm-hmm. But we're going to trust the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That God has done something good.
Yeah. Looking at the theme that we started out the section with, bad news, good news. And we see here that the bad news is that death may take many of our loved ones, but in the end, life will reign and win out, and they will be resurrected again.
Oh, that is awesome, Ulrich. And I have to, Kenneth's comment, I want you to think of someone that you are looking forward to meeting when the dead in Christ are raised. Okay, think about that. Just hold on to that, because this is really good news. Kenneth.
And the Bible says, precious in the sight of God are the death of his saints. Mm-hmm. And I believe when God called Lazarus, because Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and then there was this relationship, it means God is not going to forget anyone whom there is a relationship between God and then the person. Even if we die, God one day is going to call us by our name and we will come up.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So we are sleeping but not forgotten.
Yes.
Mm. We are remembered. In the heart of God.
Yes.
Yes, Mario.
I just feel impressed. You know, when we were talking about Lazarus, you talked about how he was decomposing at that point in time. And just personal application of the power of God. We may not be dying or dead physically, but there are many of us who are struggling and spiritually we're just decomposing in every way.
Wow, that's an intense picture, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the same Christ that raised Lazarus from the dead and reversed the decomposition is the same Christ now here who can begin to reverse the decomposition of our spiritual lives.
Is that good news?
Yeah.
That's what we're hearing from our Hope Sabbath School members, isn't it? Where they're finding a new life. Jennifer?
Amen. We didn't read one of my favorite verses that come before the resurrection, but it's John 11:35, where it says Jesus wept.
Yes.
So even though he knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, but just the compassion that he had for the grief of the family. And so I can just imagine, you know, as we deal with loss of loved ones and other losses in our lives, you know, God, he cares, you know, he weeps and he has compassion for us, even though there is this resurrection that we can look forward to.
Yeah, that's a theme that's been coming back over and over again, that we trust the relationship with a loving Creator and Redeemer.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Missy.
I just want to add to what she said about Christ weeping. I believe that also extended to all the people who are rejecting the gift He wants to give everyone. He wants everyone to live, everyone to have life. I believe His heart was just wrenching for those who'd say,
So He's
no.
grieving for Mary and Martha and for the friends who were yes. grieving the loss. But He's also grieving because some people, when they see this amazing miracle, will just say, we've got to kill Him. Mm-hmm. So He's grieving over that. Mm-hmm. Think about this time of resurrection. Certainly, Martha and Mary must have been very, very happy, right? Mm-hmm. Their brother came mm-hmm. back. I want you to think forward to that glorious day. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm. That glorious day, we're talking specifically here now about the recreation of human beings, the raising from the dead. Is there someone specific that you will be looking for on that day? Natasha, who are you going to be looking for?
Oh, my father, definitely. I was a daddy's girl. So, and I feel like I was young when he passed. I mean, I was in my early 20s, but so I'll definitely be looking for him.
For those of you in the front row who can't turn around, Natasha was smiling when she said that.
Oh, yes.
Is that good news?
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, and what joy will come to your father's heart to know that you served Jesus in your life.
Amen.
Mm. Now, I mean, what else matters?
Mm. Yeah.
Because one thing is for sure, if you have someone who fell asleep in Jesus, they're going to be looking for you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Someone else, who came to your mind, Seth, when you were thinking about that glorious resurrection?
My mother. I'll be looking forward to see her. Because I know she was looking forward to that, you know, the resurrection moment. Amen. The morning when, you know, we'll all be reunited again. So, it's something I'm really, really looking forward to. It'll be a bright morning.
Amen. A bright morning. I like the way you put that. Someone on the front row. Yes, Lily.
My sister. My mom gave birth to her a couple of hours later. She passed. So I think I'd be looking forward to that. She's the one that came to mind.
So that raises an interesting question, and maybe we should just ask it. Does God provide salvation and new life for Lily's 2-hour-old sister?
Yes.
What's the answer?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sure, we know this if we trust the relationship that the Creator loves how many of His children?
Everyone.
Sometimes we maybe should grieve for people that have to live longer on the planet. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we don't choose how long we live on the planet, right?
Amen.
But we do know that God loves all of His children. And that's going to be an amazing day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else? Someone maybe outside of your family. I know we could talk about our close relatives, but is there someone else that you think, I really want to meet this person? Nathan?
You know, my mother came to mind, of course, first of all, too. And I could think about all the Bible heroes I want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
I want to meet Jesus.
Amen.
And I just want to see my Savior face to face. I'm longing for that.
So you won't be worried about all the other people who have been raised. You're going to be looking for the one who raised them all.
Yes.
But let's talk about the Bible characters for just a moment. I think we all have heroes, great women of God, men of God down through the ages that have, in some way, their life has blessed our lives. Mario, is there someone that comes to mind for you?
For me, it's Moses.
Really?
And because he had such a unique relationship with the Lord. When Israel was getting ready to be destroyed, so many times he seemed to change God's mind about it a little bit in a way, you know.
Or at least God allowed him to show His heart
right.
by saying, blot my name out if you need to. That's interesting. I would not have chosen Moses, though I think he's a great leader.
Right.
It probably shows that each one of us connects with someone. Kenneth?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to see Job.
And Job.
Ask him a question. What really was going through your mind when you say, after all this, you know that your Redeemer liveth and that at the end he shall stand?
So that's an interest. I would not have chosen Job either. But you'd like to ask him about that whole experience of basically losing everything, including his personal health, And yet choosing to trust the relationship, back to what we talked about, mm-hmm. that I have a loving creator and I'm going to hold on to that relationship. Amen. Willie?
Definitely Paul.
Paul?
He's my hero.
Okay.
He wrote most of the books of the New Testament, and his depth of the knowledge of, of the gospel is just so amazing. I would love to meet him.
And you know, I imagine we have a lot of respect for Paul, but I imagine that that he'll be the first one to say, I'm just here by the grace of God.
Right.
Yes. I'm here by the mercy of God. Lily?
I'd like to meet Elijah. I think not so much as my hero, but someone that I can connect with. I mean, I don't get depressed, but I do have my highs and I do have my lows. And he gives me hope to know, hey, God can use a prophet so unstable to do so much. And I have to thank him for accepting to be a prophet, because through his life, it's been an example to me. Hey, I have hope. I'm going to have my highs. I'm going to have my lows. We're good. As long as God is in it, we're good.
For those who don't know the story of the prophet Elijah, this man that comes out of nowhere, mm-hmm. we talk about trusting God and the relationship with God and the whole showdown with the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel. But then he kind of crashes, doesn't he? Yeah. And actually he says, Lord, take my life, you know. Mm-hmm. So you find hope in the honest story of someone who trusted God even though they had some bad days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Continued to hold on. All right, one last one. I don't know who hasn't shared yet. Ulrich.
I like to see Joseph.
Yes,
Joseph. Missy was going to vote for Joseph.
Yeah,
what is it about Joseph that you say I want?
Okay, Joseph.
Is this Joseph the husband of Mary, or Joseph the
son of Jacob?
Son of Jacob. Okay.
Yeah, just for what he'd been through. I mean, someone to maintain their integrity at a certain trying situation where many would have crumbled. And just the forgiveness part, right. where that is something very hard for even Christian people to do today. Yeah. And the way in which he did it in humility and in meekness was amazing, even in the circumstances that he was thinking of the love for his brothers who had done such horrible things to him. You know, that's the individual that I would like to see. And just to ask him, where did you get your strength?
He's going to tell us. We know the answer to that, right?
Right.
We're impacted by that, but he's going to tell us what all of these great women of God and great men of God, what are they going to tell us?
From God.
From God.
The Lord gives us strength.
I just trusted God.
Right.
And you wonder what it's going to be like throughout the ceaseless ages. I think we're going to be sharing a lot of our stories of how God was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not only going to recreate people. I want to move on if I can. He's also going to recreate the environment. Think about living forever on this polluted planet.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound very appealing, does it? let's talk about some of the things that happened to the environment after the entrance of sin. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. And Willie, will you start with verse 11 through verse 13?
Sure. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
So violence, that the earth had become filled with violence. Yes. What kind of violence?
Earthquakes.
Physical violence? Mm-hmm. You mean violence of nature?
Yep.
Between humans?
Between human beings?
And animals.
Everything.
Yeah. Between animals.
Between animals? I mean, that was not, it wasn't, when God said it was very good, one animal was not chasing the other animal to eat it, right?
Right, exactly.
That comes after the curse. Mm-hmm. So what's it going to be like when God recreates the environment? Well, we don't know for sure. But let's look at a couple of texts, shall we? Isaiah 65 and verse 25 and Isaiah 11 verses 6 through 9. Give us a little glimpse. Arnold, do you have Isaiah 65 and verse 25?
Yes, I'm reading in the New King James Version. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food.
So this is kind of a poetic description of the fact that those things that were dangerous or violent will not be anymore.
Amen.
What about Isaiah 11?
I'll continue that to
Isaiah. I want to go to Isaiah 11, if I can, verses 6 through 9. And Ulrich, would you read that for us, please, starting with verse 6?
Verse 6 through 9, reading from the New King James Version. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea.
That's kind of poetic language too, isn't it?
Yes. Wow.
But what's the message, Stephanie, you're hearing?
There's going to be peace in nature. I mean, we can't even imagine a wolf lying down with a lamb, you know? That's unknown of.
Don't think of.
Right. We don't think of that.
Nathan?
That language, I think you were going to continue reading that verse because it says the same thing. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain.
Right.
Then the next verse we read in Isaiah 11.
So Isaiah is trying to really reinforce that later on.
Think of the image of Daniel with the coming kingdom, and it fills the whole earth and becomes a mountain. That's God's new earth.
Yes, you're thinking of Daniel chapter 2 and the prophecy about the kingdoms of this earth will be...
That comes from outer space.
Right,
And it hits, and then it becomes a mountain that fills the whole earth, the symbol of the new earth.
So how do you feel about... A world where there's no more violence or death. Try to get your mind around that. Missy?
I think it's something very difficult for us to be able to assimilate into our minds because we're so used to death and sorrow and sadness. The thought of peace all the time and letting our children run and play and not have to worry about them is something that's so foreign. I think it's very difficult for us to grasp it, but believe me, I want it.
Something that you want. Natasha?
Yes, I was going to say it's such an inspiration for what we look forward to, what we're striving to get to, and it allows us to obtain a stronger relationship with Christ so that we can get there to have that peace.
I want to agree with both of you. Missy, it's hard for me to imagine because I grew up afraid of lots of things. I mean, the thought of cobras, you know, I mean, I don't like snakes.
Me neither.
I don't even like mean dogs. You know, that doesn't even make it into the mean category here. The thought of a place of perfect harmony, it's hard to get your mind around it, isn't it, Seth?
I'm reminded of a text in Romans. It says that our whole nature is groaning.
Yes.
Groaning for that, you know.
Even nature is longing for that time.
Right. Restoration.
Where there's not going to be all of this violence.
Here in verse, I think it's verse 9, where it says, for the earth shall be full with the knowledge of the Lord. And I'm looking at the context of the passage, and I'm saying to myself, if the knowledge of the Lord helps to restore all of this, then the reason why all this is going on here right now, the killing and the violence, is because the knowledge of the Lord is not here.
We've been disconnected.
We've been disconnected. Not only humans disconnected from God and acting violent, but even nature of itself has been disconnected. Because remember, he's the one who upholds everything with his hand, and nature goes by what he says.
Yeah, yeah, Jennifer.
Just looking at the verse that Ulrich just pointed out, it just took me back to Genesis where the serpent, you know, promised that if they disobeyed God, they would have knowledge of good and evil.
And so we saw the consequences of, you know, that wisdom. But now the earth will be full of the knowledge of God, which is basically peace and love and joy and, you know, living together in harmony.
And that leads us into the last section. Amen. Because as wonderful as it is to think about no violence on the earth, what's the most amazing thing, and I think, Nathan, you brought us to who you want to meet. The most amazing thing about creation again is restored intimate communion with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to Genesis and see how it was in the original creation. Let's look at a couple of examples in the scripture, and then let's go to Revelation as we conclude our study. And then I want you to tell me, what is it going to be like? You know, there's a Christian song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yes. You know,
what are we going to do when we actually do enter into unhindered communion with God? Mm-hmm. But let's start with Genesis, with the beginning. God's original plan is still, we still catch a glimpse of it in Genesis 3 and verse 9. And who'll read that for us? Mario, would you read Genesis 3 verse 9?
Sure. This is from the New International Version. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?"
So there's that idea that he's still longing for that face-to-face communion that they had before this, before this deception developed into a rebellion against God. Mm-hmm. Let's catch a glimpse in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. Who was the one that wanted to meet Moses? Was that you, Mario? Then I need to ask you to read it, I guess. I know you just read for us, but seeing as Moses is someone you want to meet. I read Exodus chapter 34, and I just go, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. The good news is, this is the blessed hope of every person who trusts in God as Savior.
Amen.
This is our hope, all of us. Describe the story starting in verse 29 of Exodus 34.
From the New International Version, they carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi.
Wait, what book are you in?
I'm sorry, I was in Genesis.
Genesis is a great book, but I actually want us to go to Exodus. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Exodus 34, this is real live Bible study. And Exodus 34 should be something about Moses.
Yes.
Because he is our hero, right?
Yes.
So we're now in Exodus 34, beginning with verse 29.
And it reads, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Mm. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until it came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord."
Can you imagine that kind of face-to-face communion with the Lord? Wow. Yes, Natasha.
Oh, I think of how people say you have a glow. Like, a lot of people say that to us because we've only been married almost a year. Or a pregnant woman, you have a glow. But could you imagine the glow from being face-to-face with God?
That's awesome.
And you know, that's an interesting illustration because the glow is related to the relationship.
Right. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just God shining and now you're shining.
Right.
It's this getting close in relationship to our awesome, loving God.
Amen.
Missy.
I remember as a child reading passages in the Bible, how the angels and the people would just be in God's presence saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And as a kid, not understanding, I'm like, man, that would seem pretty boring to me, saying it over and over again. As I got older and got to understand the whole picture, Christ's sacrifice, the whole story from beginning to end, the way he turned it all around, a ship that was sinking turned it all around and brought us back and brought the whole thing around, wrapped up the story, and we're finally getting to see him. What a overwhelming experience that will be.
Mm. And we'll cry holy too.
Yeah,
we'll cry holy.
Go to Mark 12, verse 37, the second half of the verse, because maybe some of us say, I wish I could have been there when Jesus walked on the earth. Mm. Mark chapter 12, verse 37, the second half of the verse, talks about some unhindered communion. It might not sound like Moses, Seth, but they were with the Lord face to face. How does that read in your Bible?
I'm reading from the New International Version. David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight.
The large crowd listened to him with delight. Anyone else have another translation?
New King James Version says, and the common people heard him gladly.
The common people heard him
gladly.
Gladly. Did you ever imagine what it would have been like to actually have been there? Mm-hmm. What question would you have asked him? Or would you have just been speechless? I see you just shaking your head.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing.
Would you have asked him a question, Ori?
Yeah, I was like, you're the son of God, but you were born to human beings. I would want to ask him, okay, how did that happen?
And, okay, how did it happen, the whole incarnation?
How did you become
By the way, it would have
baby.
To be a short question because the people listening would be wanting to hear him, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, maybe we would just sit there and listen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow, isn't that an amazing thought that it may be okay that we don't talk?
Yeah. It's fine too.
I would have asked him, Lord, how can I be like you? Mm. How can I utter this wisdom that you just uttered?
You know, it may be that we wouldn't ask a question. Yeah. We think we would. Oh, yeah. I'm going to ask him a question. Yeah. We might just say, I love you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We might not. Have you ever wanted to say something and the words don't come out?
Speechless.
Yeah. What happens then?
Tears.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the amazing thing is that he will understand exactly what we're trying to say, right?
Sometimes when I pray, I just like to ask God, you know, what do you want to talk about? And because I feel like there are some things that, you know, God would like to share with me. And sometimes I feel like, you know, God and Jesus have conversations about us. And I'm like, if I were in on that conversation. So I think if I had a chance or when I have a chance to meet Jesus, I'll just say, what do you want to talk about? You know, what's on your mind? What are you thinking?
So if there is a question, it would be, what do you want to say to me? Go to one more text in Revelation 22, 3-5, and then give you an opportunity as we wrap up this great series on origins. We're not here by accident. We have an awesome creator God. He loves us. He's got a purpose for our lives. And we've got something to look forward to.
Amen.
And let's take a look in Revelation chapter 22. Kenneth, would you read verses 3-5 for us?
Reading from the New King James Version. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
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 You know, there's a song, No More Night.
Yes.
Right.
No More Night.
No more pain.
Can you imagine that day? And what makes it so amazing is not how long we'll live. Mm-hmm. It is that unhindered communion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That unhindered communion with God. You know, in this series, we've talked about knowing who we are and knowing what's really important in life. Mm-hmm. And it is getting connected to that one who loves us so much. Amen. And the hope for the future. If you could sum up what you've learned in one sentence, got to be short, something that you say, this has changed me, what would you share? Something that you've learned in this series on Origins. I want to try to give several people an opportunity to share. One sentence.
It's a phrase that's uttered a lot. You cannot know where you're going unless you know where you're from.
So you would say just knowing where we came from is vitally important to know where we're going.
Yes.
All right, Willie?
I would say there is definitely a God.
Mm-hmm. That would be what you would take. You're definitely a God. But what kind of God is he?
A loving God.
Yeah, there's definitely a loving God. That's a big step. But not only a loving God, but a loving God who
wants a relationship
with us. Someone on the front row. Kenneth?
Yeah, I would say God plans to recreate me again and made me whole.
And that's something awesome, to thank him for.
Right. What sticks out in my mind is that he hung the earth on nothing, and I'll be honest with you, it's changed my prayer life because now I pray to a God who can do anything.
Amen. So one of my wife's favorite texts is from Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, and it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth." That's what the series is about, right?
Yeah.
"You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Mm. There is nothing too hard for you."
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to speak to you just now, and I want to tell you the good news that there is nothing too hard for our great and awesome
God. Amen.
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 I don't know what you're dealing with right now, but I tell you this, you have a glorious future if you'll trust your life into the care of your loving God. He's got a plan, a future, and a hope that will bless your life. Mm-hmm. And do you know God wants to use you to bless the lives of those around you? Mm-hmm. I want to pray a blessing upon each one of us as Hope Sabbath School members to realize that potential as followers of our loving God. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we know the truth. We're not here by accident. We were created by your power. We have a purpose in life and a hope for the future. We accept that with thanksgiving. And I pray you'd help us to share that good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this series on Origins. If you missed any, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, so that you can catch up on God's great plan for your life, hope for the future, and then take the good news that you have learned and share it with those around you.